The November general election is just more than 4 weeks away, and while the tone of the rhetoric in the presidential race is taking center stage, there are some very important races here at home to consider. In Wisconsin, 115 seats in the state legislature are up for election next month, and for the past few months, we've been doing our best here at the West Side to introduce the state candidates running for office in our region. Today, we're talking about the 30th State Assembly District of far western Wisconsin, and there are three candidates hoping to represent their communities in the state legislature in that race. The 30th District contains parts of St. Croix and Pierce County. Some of the cities include Hudson, River Falls, are included in the district, as well as towns like Troy, St. Joseph, Richmond, Kinnickinnick, Warren, and many more that I'm not mentioning. Villages of North Hudson and Roberts, and the list goes on. The 30th Assembly District seat has been held for 6 years by Hudson Republican Dean Knutson, but last year he announced that he would not seek re-election. Therefore, there will be three choices on the ballot in the 30th Assembly race: an independent, a Republican, and a Democrat. Today, I'm happy to welcome them all to our Eau Claire studios for a discussion about why they're running and what they'd like to accomplish if elected. In no particular order, the candidates are Shannon Zimmerman. He is the Republican candidate from River Falls. He is a business owner and has served as executive in residence at UW River Falls. Shannon Zimmerman, welcome back to the West Side.
Glad to be here.
Glad to have you. Scott Nelson is the Democratic candidate from Hudson. He is a veteran of the U.S. Air Force, retired firefighter, and current member of the St. Croix County Board of Supervisors. Scott Nelson, welcome to the program.
All right. It's great to be here.
Good to have you. And Aaron Taylor is the independent candidate from River Falls. Aaron Taylor, welcome to the West Side.
Thanks for having me.
Our pleasure. Listeners, we'd like to hear from you as well. If you've got questions for the candidates, give us a call at 1-800-228-5615. That applies if you live within the 30th Assembly District of St. Croix and Pierce Counties, or if you live outside of the district as well, because these candidates, while they're concerned about their district, they also represent the state as a whole. 800-228-5615. Also check out the West Side Facebook page. You can comment there, and we'll do our best to get the questions on the air. So, in the studio, though none of you at home can see this, I'm just going to go left to right from my perspective and start with a basic question of what qualifies you for the job of 30th State Assembly District Representative, and why do you want to serve? I'll start with you, Scott Nelson, Democrat.
Well, thanks for having me. First of all, I've just been reelected to St. Croix County Board of Supervisors in the town of Hudson for District 8. During my first term, I was still working full-time as a professional firefighter at Twin Cities International Airport. So I had a lot of public interaction there, and actually it was a great organization to work with because you were dealing with public-private programs there, because the airport employees were public employees or state of Minnesota employees, but the airport was commercial. So I learned a lot about that. And prior to that, I was United States Air Force fireman. And I wanted to run for assembly is because I've learned what the local issues are, and I can take a lot of those issues down to Madison. And a lot of the issues that have been changed in Madison with a lot of these bills have affected the local people. And being a member of the county board, being on the transportation committee, being on the public protection committee, being on a local emergency planning commission, I see those issues firsthand. And I will, when I go to Madison, give people a chance to know that their legislator will make decisions. But now what we have is we have a lot of legislators that want to kick the decisions down to the local levels by just doing everything on referendums. We can't govern that way. You can't tie the hands of local officials. They're elected. Let them do their jobs. But now Madison seems to know better, so they're reaching out and taking a lot of the local controls away. And we have a lot of issues that we'll probably get to that the state hasn't addressed, and I see them personally at the local level and how it's hurting us at the local level.
All right. Aaron Taylor, why are you running for the 30th State Assembly District, and what qualifications are you bringing to the table?
Well, I decided to run for State Assembly because right when I was finishing college at UW River Falls, I started to notice the huge division and divisiveness that started to come down in Madison on the national level. And unless people could work together, we're not going to get anything done. And I'm running as an independent because I saw the Democrats, Republicans, and all the other smaller parties around. They can't seem to let go of the past, of what's happened, and they can't work together. And I feel that I'm very fact-driven. I don't care race, creed, religion, party. I'm willing to talk with anyone and get all the facts and make the best decision that I can from that. What qualifies me is I was on River Falls City Council for 2 years, so I know a lot of the issues that cities are having that the state has just made worse by either moving money around, eliminating programs, and that just pushes the tax burden to local taxpayers instead of spreading it all over the state. Another qualification I have is I've lived in Wisconsin for 17 years. I went through from fifth grade all the way through the end of college. I went through public education. So I see the good teachers who leave to go to other states. And if we want Wisconsin's future to be bright and as best as it can, we need good educators.
And Shannon Zimmerman, you survived, or you were victorious in the partisan primary back in August, and we had you on the program before. So if you could remind voters again why you're running and what you hope to accomplish, what qualifications you have for the job.
Certainly. It did feel like surviving it after running as hard as we did. Well, first and foremost, you know, I grew up, I come from a low-income family, and so I certainly have an appreciation for, I'll say, challenging and difficult times. My wife and I, from River Falls nearly 20 years ago, started our business and started a dream. And over the course of that 20 years, we have been very blessed and very fortunate to see that business grow, and now we've started another one. And through that process, you learn a ton about your area, your community, the economic influences of that area. These are some of the things that I believe are instrumental in what is a rapidly growing district in this state. We raised our two boys there. They went to elementary school, high school, college there. They still live in the district as well. I have grandchildren now who also call District 30 home. So for me, my motivation is really all of the great people who helped me, who helped my wife and I start, grow, and build our business. And when I sometimes survey the landscape politically, and I don't disagree with some of the points made already, there is a polarization that is incredibly evident and challenging in these political arenas right now. And I think that running business, it's never easy. And there's great days and there's challenging days. And one's ability to negotiate, I think, is vital. So, you know, that's what I believe qualifies me. I'm motivated for the people, the family members I have, and my neighbors.
Thank you for that, gentlemen. The number to call in is 1-800-228-5615. We had a caller on the line earlier, but we lost them. Phone lines are wide open, folks. 1-800-228-5615. Because it happened last night, I have to ask about this. A lot of people at the local level are wondering how people running for office feel about their party's major candidates for president. And last night there was a presidential debate. Part of the discussion last night had to do with a video that surfaced from 2005 that recorded Donald Trump speaking unknowingly into a live microphone and bragging about, it sounded like he was bragging about forcing himself on women and even grabbing their genitals. Shannon Zimmerman, after you won the Republican primary in your race, you were paraphrased in the River Falls Journal as saying you would focus on shoring up party unity. That's a big issue in on both sides right now. Do you feel a sense of party unity with GOP presidential nominee Donald Trump?
First of all, you cannot excuse the inexcusable. Personally, I disagree entirely with the statements that that Donald made. I'm glad he apologized, but they were made. It doesn't change that fact. You know, what's happening at the presidential level, really with both candidates, is utterly frustrating. I'm sure that all the gentlemen sitting at this table right now would agree. The countless doors I have visited, and literally the reaction from everybody is the same, which is it's frustration at that presidential race. And so for me, I stay focused on District 30. I stay focused on the things that I believe can make a positive difference for those in my community and in my home state. And I will have to pray long and hard for those at the top of the ticket that somehow we can find constructive and positive resolution.
Does Donald Trump have your support for president?
Donald Trump is a question mark for me right now. And that's something I need to give serious thought to as we progress forward because some of the challenges that are obviously you're commenting on here.
All right. And Scott Nelson, I also have a question for you. During last night's presidential debate, the issue of Hillary Clinton's emails came up again. It's dogged her throughout the presidential campaign for a long time. PolitiFact has confirmed that after leaving the State Department, a member of Clinton's staff deleted 33,000 emails from Clinton's private server after she had gotten a subpoena. There's a lot of technicalities. There's a lot of gray area there, according to who you talk to. But do you feel a sense of party unity with Democratic presidential nominee Hillary Clinton? Do you trust her?
Well, that's an interesting question. First of all, how many emails did George Bush get rid of? He got rid of quite a few. And it's probably almost tenfold, but they got rid of his compared to hers. She shows leadership. She doesn't have to sit there and talk badly about people to show leadership. I just think it's a sideshow. What I think it's really sad is that you have a lot of candidates who said they're against Trump, but their signs are right next to his. So that to me is showing you support Trump, and that's kind of a difficult thing. I think it's very disappointing being a veteran, as someone who has had different commanders and chiefs, that we have people acting this way. It's very disappointing. It's very disappointing for our future. But you know what? We can go to the state level. We're having that issue right now. There's a lot of divisiveness and conquer and divide. It started in Wisconsin here a while ago. But now we're seeing it at the national level. And the media, I think, is a little bit involved, too, because they don't talk about what the issues are. They're just looking at what their ratings are. The media is really fueling this up. If they wanted to go by the issues, Donald Trump wouldn't even be in these debates. And, yes, Hillary is part of the big system, and there's a huge system that's bigger than all of us. But the main problem is at least she's being professional. That's why I always ask of people or my firefighters I work with, be professional. Be a pro about doing things. He's very amateurish the way he's acting. And personally, if I was a Republican, I'd be a little bit disappointed that that's all they can get to run for president.
Aaron Taylor, I'm curious to get your thoughts on this because you've got the luxury of not being politically identified with either candidate. So what's your take on the questions? Both parties, there was large groups of people who were opposed to who became the eventual nominees. What's your take on that as an independent?
Oh, as an independent, it's kind of a luxury and a burden at the same time. But talking about Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton and how they don't have their full party support, I'm honestly fed up with how the whole system works now because we shouldn't have to pick the lesser of two evils. We have a guy who admits to sexual assault. We have somebody who committed a felony, where if any normal person did that, we would be sitting in prison. And there's been a couple whistleblowers who did stuff similar to Hillary Clinton who are pariahs now. So I just want a real person to run for office. It could be just somebody from the street. I don't watch the debates. I watch the Daily Show. I watch the satirical stuff after because some of it is so difficult to watch. You have to see it presented in a funny manner or else you just your blood boils at what's happening.
If I could follow up with you real quick, though. People always, whenever they're upset with their candidates, they say, the lesser of two evils argument, you know, why does it have to be two? So they call for a third party. But when people run as third parties, their chances statistically are very slim. So what can we do as a nation to, or what would you suggest to change that?
Oh, what I would suggest is people forgetting their party lines. Like, we're all Wisconsinites. We're all Americans. The media, like Scott was saying, needs to invite the third party candidates, the real people that aren't divisive, that have let go of the past and they want to move forward. So it'll be it needs to be a collective effort of, the first thing is people need to realize that red and blue, it just doesn't work anymore.
Scott Nelson, you'd like to respond.
Yeah, I find it interesting that actually some of your best candidates to run for office are probably out working on the tractor or working on the roof or throwing down some concrete. And they're the kind of people that you sit there and you talk to and it's like, boy, they're really smart. But then they don't want to be involved. But you try to get them engaged to do things like that, but they don't want to do it. I tell you, I worked with some fantastic people in the military in my fire department job. That would have been great for office, but they don't want, because it's so toxic. The one thing I like about being on the St. Croix County Board of Supervisors, it's nonpartisan. And we have to work together. Like, we're going through our budget program right now. We have to work together because, or else the budget's not going to get done. There's 19 of us. We can agree to disagree. Some will totally disagree with me all the time, and I may disagree with them. But on this budget, we have to have a consensus to do that. That's why I think it's important for people who want to run for office. They got to start at those local levels, because then you learn how it is. Because I see a lot of, I'm just doing a generality here, but people come in and say, I'm running for this office because I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Guess what? The wheels of government are really slow. But sometimes if you have a good collective whole of people, both sides of the aisle and the independents, we'll take Aaron in too. He can join us. And this is what we do, is we all work a collaborative effort. We don't have that in the state right now. We were so unbalanced. That's why we were looking at each other. Some people can't even look at a Democrat or a Republican. And you know what really disappoints me? I'm running as a Democrat. I'm a veteran. But if I was a Republican, they'd be wrapping me around the flag saying, you're the greatest thing since sliced bread. But I'm a Democrat. Oh, you're one of those guys. We have to stop that. That's very disheartening, very disappointing.
We've got our first call of the morning. We go to Troy. Troy, you're on the air. Thanks for calling in. Have I got that right?
It's Kim from Troy.
I was trying to... Okay, thank you for the correction. What's your question?
Well, my question is about our local economy. Unemployment here is apparently an all-time low. It's quite low. And so employers are struggling to actually draw workers, both skilled and unskilled, to fill their positions. And this can delay or postpone expansion and further business. So I'd like to know how... our candidates would address that problem of finding and drawing workers to keep our economy in St. Croix County expanding.
Sure. Thanks for that, Kim. I appreciate it. And let me start with I'll start and go through round robin again. Let me start with Shannon Zimmerman. Shannon.
Well, you've accurately really just described what is both a challenge but also a glorious opportunity for District 30. We are the fastest growing district in the state. This is an area that I have spent an exhaustive amount of my time, and we are very fortunate to have low unemployment. I mean, that's a great thing for us. But it is, in fact, creating a challenge. I know firsthand the struggles we have in filling jobs locally. This is going to result in potentially challenges in recruiting new companies to our area, because the first thing a company does is they're going to take a look at certainly the tax base and so forth, but they're going to look at the labor pool. Can I gain access to this talent? My contention is actually that this is an opportunity for private sector business to more tightly integrate with our educational systems, higher education, technical colleges, K-12. We have a tremendous amount of talent residing inside these schools that if we can pull them into the process sooner, they don't jump the river. They don't cross the St. Croix because they've been conditioned for decades to automatically do that. They don't leave the state of Wisconsin. They realize that they can be employed, earn a great wage, raise their family in this high-quality area that we call home. So I think that we need to continue to foster ways to access the educational centers and establish a more pronounced identity as the place to work in the state of Wisconsin.
Aaron Taylor, your thoughts on the caller's questions?
Oh, my thoughts are we have a great labor base in District 30, and we have UW River Falls right there. Great university. Go Falcons. We have great businesses coming in. The business park in River Falls and Hudson, just constantly big companies coming in. From me being a young employed worker and having many friends who still live in the area and a lot who have left, it's the wage. We need, like, as a young person, we need to start making a whole lot of money really quick to pay off our $30,000, $40,000, sometimes $100,000 student loans. And the big reason why a lot of my friends and a lot of people I know who move away or go to work in the cities, like Shannon was saying, is purely financial. They still live in River Falls. They still live in Hudson. They still live in Troy. They just want more money. And I think the government, somehow, if they could help, not necessarily just increasing the minimum wage, which should happen, but some incentive for businesses to pay more to their employees, that would really help in keeping the people who go to our universities, our schools, people who love the area, but just can't afford it by staying in the area. That'll help a lot.
Scott Nelson, your thoughts on how to combat what people call a skills gap or the trouble in getting qualified employees for certain businesses?
Well, first of all, you got to make sure you have the funding to take care of the infrastructure to bring more businesses in. Mm-hmm. And when you have the infrastructure, I talk to people that I work out with at the YMCA who work at 3M and other businesses, and I ask them. I said, what are some of the main things that we need in this area? The District 3. It's broadband. It's making sure that you have the fibers to do whatever you need there. And the other thing I have a real hard problem with is you have a lot of candidates running on the Republican ticket saying how they're so for education, but they've been doing such a hatchet job to the UW systems and to the school systems of the public education with the voucher program, and pretty soon it's 10%, next it'll be 20%, pretty soon it'll be 50-50 that the public education will be getting drawn off by the taxpayers. So I find it really kind of disingenuous when a lot of the Republicans talk about they're so for education, but they've been doing a hatchet job to it. And the other reason is a lot of people are moving over to the border of the laborers type people is the right to work, prevailing wage, Act 10, all those different programs that this administration has administered. That's why a lot of these people are moving out of state. And there's another real problem too is we have a reciprocity issue. The state needs to address it. If we owe Minnesota money, we need to take care of it. As a person who has to deal with those taxes and the hundreds of thousands of trips that are back and forth by people from District 30 to their jobs in the cities, we need to take care of that. But you know what this administration wants to do? It has their pet projects, cut, cut, cut. Don't want to address anything, and that reciprocity has been sitting on the docket for a long time, and it's actually is a huge issue for a lot of people. And I don't care if whoever gets voted in District 30, if they don't make that a priority, get this fixed, then we're not going to do it. Plus, I've lived in that area since 1990. I live in Assembly District 30 in town of Hudson. I know that area well because basically when I'm out, do my county board supervisor, I tell people, this is what I'm about. I've never done a bait and switch as far as dealing with programs or my votes. And I'm very progressive on doing infrastructure. Transportation issues is huge. And being on transportation, see, I know all those things because I'm part of it. I'm not coming in fresh and green. I see it. I live it every day. Now I'm going through it right now with another budget.
Let me, I want to follow up on the reciprocity issue. Wisconsin paid the money that was owed to Minnesota a while ago, years ago. But the issue is lawmakers are claiming that Minnesota is asking for too much money. They're asking for more. Like they can't agree on the rates.
I thought it was about $6.2 million. I don't know. But it was back. It was kind of weird because when this all went down, I believe it was under Pawlenty administration in Minnesota, and we had Jim Doyle as the Wisconsin governor. I might be wrong about that, but I remember how it is. But if you have to do the taxes for that, the forms, it's trivial. But it makes us as unwilling partners to work with our border mm-hmm. people because we are. I can see Minnesota from my house. Somebody else might have said that in Alaska one time, but I really can. But, you know, but they're our friends. You know what I mean? Not on Sundays sometimes or even on Saturday at Badger Golf Game. But we know it. We live this. We need to take care of these problems. And I don't care who's in there. And I know if Diane Dean gets into the Senate, she's going to make it a top priority too. Let's get this fixed. Somebody needs to fix it.
Let's take our first break on the west side. I'm talking with the three candidates running for the 30th State Assembly District. They are Shannon Zimmerman. He's the Republican in the race. Scott Nelson is the Democrat. And Aaron Taylor is the Independent. They're with me for the rest of the hour. We can take your calls and your questions at 800-228-5615. This is the west side. We'll be right back.
Support for WPR comes from Wisconsin Eye, a nonprofit news network covering Wisconsin state and local government. Wisconsin Eye 2016 election coverage can be watched on cable or online at wiseye.org. Support also comes from greenroutes.org in collaboration with Explore Minnesota, an online directory to on-farm dining, events, and sustainable businesses from local vineyards to pizza farms. greenroutes.org.
I'm Rich Kramer. You're listening to the West Side on Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks for joining us this Monday morning. We're continuing with our series of candidate discussions. Today, we're talking about the 30th State Assembly District. It includes parts of St. Croix and Pierce County, cities including Hudson and River Falls, towns like Troy, St. Joseph, Richmond, Kinnickinnick, Warren, and villages like North Hudson and Roberts. 1-800-228-5615. If you've got a question or a comment, we also have the Westside Facebook page up, and you can comment right under the latest post that I put on just before the show started. If you can't get through on the phones, just hang tight. Keep trying. Let's go right now to Ryan in River Falls. Ryan, you're on the air. Thanks for calling in.
Hi, thank you. How's everybody doing this morning?
We're doing all right. Thanks for asking. What's on your mind?
Just had a quick question, similar to the last one. I'm a small business owner here in the district, and I see the landscape changing quickly. And I'm just curious what experience each candidate brings and how they can help lead the area and make it better for business owners.
All right. Thanks for that. Let me go round robin opposite direction, starting with Scott Nelson this time. What do you bring for small business owners to the table?
As far as my county board experience and how we can help in other ways is, you know, we do kind of set the standard for what the tax is going to be, you know. But we also have to give them the ability to expand if they need to. And you need to draw companies in, but we don't need to give away the farm. We need to be smart about it. And if you look at how River Falls is expanding now with that and with Hudson doing with their programs, but we got to make sure that we are good stewards of the taxpayers' money, which I am that way on the county board with my votes, because you can also be progressive and make sure that we keep the infrastructure going to draw people in and to make sure that we keep these yearly taxes flat. You cannot keep raising taxes. You tax people right out of their homes. I've heard that a million times too. But you also have to remember that not taking action on certain things will cost us more down the road. So we have to be smarter that way. And we have to have good business and, you know, government working side by side. Because you know what? We're all in this together. It's not businesses versus government. Because I tell you, Shannon's businesses, if he needs help, he should be able to go to the local governments and say, hey, we need a little bit of help. Help us out this way. But don't have them hold the public entities and the taxpayers hostage, which we've seen that in businesses, which is bad business. You know, they'll say, well, give us more tax incremental financing. We're going to move to Arizona. That's not fair to the taxpayers, and I hope people don't do that. See, the one thing I really hate about some of the businesses, too, is they don't get their way, then they go outsource things to other countries, or they move their businesses offshore. That's so un-American. I mean, it's unbelievable. You can have good businesses in here, and no, we don't need to tax them to death, but they need to pay their fair share because infrastructure costs a lot of money, and we're seeing that. But we need to be – businesses need to be fair and equitable, and so does government. It has to work hand in hand or it doesn't work.
Aaron Taylor, your thoughts on what you could do as a state lawmaker from the 30th District to help small businesses?
Well, the first thing that I actually do right now is I try and I shop local as much as I can. I try and avoid the big stores. I try and go to downtown River Falls and get lunch there, go to the thrift stores there. Downtown Hudson has tons of fantastic places to go. Mm-hmm. But through that, through the past 10 years I've lived here, I've seen businesses go out because of not necessarily big box stores, but most businesses that are started fail, and some of them that did fail, I don't think they should have, and I can't tell you the reasons why, but the experience that I could bring is being on River Falls City Council. I'm not saying I was involved in negotiations with companies like Shannon's in the Business Park, Whitetail, Corporate Ridge, or Sterling Ponds. I give most of that credit to the city administrator, mm-hmm. Scott Simpson. He's fantastic. But I was privy to information on how we attract the businesses, how we do it in an equitable way where we favor River Falls a little bit more than the business over the long run. And it's a very positive way to do things. So I'll always look out for the taxpayer of Wisconsin first and foremost, but I do feel that the business is taking a chance on District 30, and we should help them out too, and nobody's getting boned either way.
And Scott Nelson mentioned something about tax incremental finance districts that some companies will use that to almost hold the city hostage, mm-hmm. et cetera. But that's also works in a lot of business parks. The TIF districts are successful here in Eau Claire. Downtown is being redeveloped. Do you support expanding that kind of idea?
I fully support the TIF districts. Our city administrator, that's his big thing. I think we have 10 at least open TIDs in River Falls, and that's what's getting the businesses to come in. That's what's River Falls is getting more tax money using that, and it's offsetting the cost of the general taxpayers, their property taxes. I'm a big fan of that program when it's done appropriately, and like Scott was saying, we're not being held hostage to the businesses, because that's not fair and equitable to anyone.
Shannon Zimmerman, let me go to you. What will you do as a lawmaker from the 30th to help small businesses grow, mm-hmm. and attract them?
You bet. Well, first of all, I think there's a fine line here, right? Government's role in private sector business is not to necessarily cover for the sins of what could be a faulty business. But government's role is, however, to make the environment conducive and welcoming to businesses. I actually, when we moved Sage in, or started Sage in River Falls, we were beneficiaries of a TIF, some TIF funds. And if I recall correctly, and I'm reaching back in the files here, so I think at that time we had roughly 25 or 30 employees. By retaining us and keeping us there, we now employ over 100 people in River Falls. So that's an example of, you know, how this programs or how these things certainly should work. You know, this is a subject that for me, I look at this through the lenses of the business person, the startup, right? The company that's considering a relocation. We're an international company. We're a global company. And so I've had to use the same model, the same game plan, if you will, when we've opened offices in Ireland or Singapore or other places in the world to support our global business. So with an understanding of what these businesses are going to be looking for, I feel personally that that helps me tremendously to talk their talk, to understand exactly what it is that they're looking for as they consider District 30 to be their home.
And Scott Nelson, you had a follow-up to what Aaron was speaking to?
I just wanted to make it clear that I'm not, and he correctly said, I'm not against the TIFs.
But
we didn't mean to insinuate that. Yeah, we have to make that smart, because I grew up in Stoughton, Wisconsin, and a lot of people know there's Stoughton Trailers down there, and they expanded to Broadhead and to Evansville and things, and that's a huge thing. But then you've had a refrigeration company in Madison. They leveraged my friend's job against his pay. They're going to cut his pay in half, or they're going to move. Well, the union guys said, well, why am I going to work for half wages? We're not going to do that. They left. They went to Arizona. It was a leverage play anyways. Businesses and government can work together. And I agree with Shannon that they need to make sure that we're not in their way, but we have to make sure that we have to watch out for the environmental concerns and things like that, because you do have some businesses that will come in there and just basically tear everything apart, and then the taxpayers have to pick up the mess. And that's not good business. That's not good business at all. But I see it through the lens of a county board member who's seen a lot of how our taxes go. And if we need to start talking about taking care of infrastructure in the counties, we better start talking about the thing that the tax levy. It's basically handcuffing what a local elected officials can do, because we're losing our local controls. We have to have the ability to trust your elected officials and not everything be done by Madison. Did you know that pretty much, 50-plus schools are now going through referendum just to have operating costs to run their schools? That's getting to the point of ridiculous. Pretty soon, you're not going to be running on the issues. You're going to be running if you're pro or for or against a resolution or a referendum. It's amazing to me how this has changed. It's crazy.
Let's take our final break. We've got questions on all of that and a lot of callers that are still trying to get in on the conversation as well. This is the West Side. We're joined by the three candidates running for the 30th State Assembly District. Scott Nelson, the Democrat, Shannon Zimmerman, the Republican, and Aaron Taylor, the Independent, are in the studio. 800-228-5615. This is the West Side.
WisconsinVote.org is your unbiased source for election information. Find voting resources, candidate profiles, and election news from Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television. It's all at WisconsinVote.org. Election information you can trust.
Support for WPR comes from Ready Wisconsin, part of Wisconsin Emergency Management. October is Cybersecurity Awareness Month. Employees exposed to cyber criminals can put businesses at risk of attack. ReadyWisconsin.wi.gov. Support also comes from the Chippewa Valley Jazz Orchestra. Female jazz vocalists from the area join the orchestra in its Ladies Sing the Blues concert, Friday, October 14th at 7:30 at the State Theater. Tickets are at EauClaireArts.com.
You're listening to The West Side on Wisconsin Public Radio stations 88.3 WHWC, Menominee, Eau Claire, and 88.7 WRFW River Falls. Today we're talking with the candidates running for the 30th State Assembly District. They are Aaron Taylor. He's the Independent candidate from River Falls. Scott Nelson is the Democratic candidate from Hudson. Shannon Zimmerman is the Republican candidate from River Falls. 1-800-228-5615. I wanted to talk about campaign finance issues. Recently, the British newspaper The Guardian published more than 1,000 emails and documents related to the investigation of Governor Scott Walker's recall election campaign. These were supposed to be private documents, secret documents, but they were leaked. The evidence paints a picture of how Governor Walker traveled the country, raised millions of dollars in donations for a group called Wisconsin Club for Growth, which then spent heavily on ads for Governor Walker and Senate recall targets. They're not explicitly advocating for people to vote for him, but just basically showing the benefits of this the Republican changes in the state. Is this how campaign finance should work? Should large donations, whether it be from corporations, unions, whatever, should it be secret or public? Let me start with you, Scott Nelson, and we'll go round robin.
It should be public. Everybody should know what you're getting. See, we talk about the divisiveness up in the presidential. We have it in our own state. There's one scandal after another. Another John Doe investigation because of all the seedy little money issues we have. I'm a huge advocate for campaign finance. I've talked when I've sat on boards and people are like, well, do you take PAC money? I said, why don't you take that PAC money and use it for your employees instead of trying to buy legislators? They get mad at me in Madison for not raising that much money. I'm not about that. I think legislators should go out and knock on doors and get to know their constituents a little bit instead of throwing hundreds of thousands of dollars at that. I can be outspent 10 to 1 even if I make $100,000, which I won't. I won't even be nearly close to that number. Actually, I might be a tenth of that. I'm giving you kind of a hint there. It's all about getting out there, meeting the people, and talking the issues. When I ran for county board, that's what I did. I did 500-plus doors within a month, month and a half, to talk to people out there. That's why I get reelected. I think campaign finance reform right now is a fraud. The GAB being taken out has been a fraud. Dean Knutson, a sitting legislator, has a PAC fund, and he just thumbs his nose at everybody. And funny how he's the individual who was right there writing the laws. Transparency is horrible in this administration, and if we keep voting people in, it's just going to get worse. We need balance in this state, and we don't have it. So I'm for campaign finance reform because I don't think these gentlemen here should have to sit there and play dialing for dollars. What they need to do is go out and knock on doors and talk to constituents. And that way it levels the playing field, and that way money's not influencing elections. But until we get these things changed, like Citizens United, it's going to get worse before it gets better.
Aaron Taylor, according to the Supreme Court ruling on the John Doe situation, no laws were broken when Governor Walker was raising money for Club for Growth, mm-hmm. which then spent – they were coordinating. But they said it's not illegal because the Club for Growth was not specifically advocating for people to vote for him. Do you think this whole system needs to be addressed in the state and at the national level?
Well, how campaign finance works now is people are buying our elected leaders, whether it's companies, whether it's really wealthy donors, or what have you, and it's forcing the hands of the leaders to pick between being reelected and maintaining their own job or caring about the citizens they represent. It needs to be changed, and this is a big reason why I flat out just decided to not take donations. I'm self-funding everything, and I think when everything's said and done, I'll maybe have only spent $4,000, which is way lower than what anybody who I know is running in any election has spent on the state level. And people call me crazy, but I tell them, I would like to say that if you give me a $100 donation, you give me a $1,000 donation, I would try my best not to put more weight into your words than somebody who didn't give me anything. But I want to remove that possibility, period. So I'm not saying we need to take it to an extreme and say everyone has to self-finance everything. There could be no donations, but it needs to be such an insignificant amount where they have to go out and get those donations door to door, so they have to actually interact with the people that they're going to be representing in order to get their campaign signs, their magnets, their stickers, which are surprisingly expensive, I'm finding out.
Shannon Zimmerman, capping off this question, do you think donations should be made public, even to groups like these issue advocacy groups? Do you think that the system that we've got in Wisconsin, per the latest interpretation by the Wisconsin Supreme Court, needs to change, or do you think it's okay the way it is?
I think all things in government require a level of scrutiny and transparency. It's an opening statement. One point that was made here, I think that is relevant, and I can't speak for all those who have gone before me, right? I mean, and I'm not saying whether they've done it wonderfully or haven't done it wonderfully, but for me, when I look at this particular position and I take this philosophy, I don't need a job. I have a really good job, and I like my job, and so I don't need this position so badly that external monies are going to force me to make decisions so that I can retain this job. I'm doing this job because I genuinely care about those in my community, and when I'm done, I want to hand the baton off to the next individual with passion, energy, and fire to go forth and make the right decisions for us in District 30. So, you know, when I consider, you know, the options here, I mean, there is – to some degree also, just an observational comment where there's a bit of hypocrisy, though, in what could be PACs or, in some cases, unions. Both spend monies to advocate for a certain position. And while they can be used badly, they can also advocate positively on behalf of a group. So you know, I don't necessarily look at both as, I'll say, evil, if you will. But I think it comes down to this. Let's start putting people in office who don't care so much about being in office that they'll do anything they can to simply stay there.
Scott Nelson, you'd like to respond.
Yeah, I actually there is the good and the bads with the PACs and the unions. That's just like when I was a union fireman 20-plus years. There's good and bad union people, too. We know that, you know, but there's good and bad business people, too. The one thing that we need to make sure, and we have too many politicians, like Shannon says, that all they worry about is the next reelection, and they listen to whatever the Robin Voss thinks or, you know, the other gentleman up top. But that's why I retired early. And if people really want to know how government works, work for a county board, get involved with the county board or city council or school boards. You don't make a lot of money, but you get more back in doing a good job of helping your citizens. That's why I did. I'm only 51 years old. I don't need another job. I had my own business for years, pounding nails. So I'm not doing this to up my income. I'm fine. Because basically, like me and Shannon and Aaron were talking earlier, we have outside interests. That's fun. But you're going to sacrifice those. And that's the other thing, too, is I'm going to be here. I'm not traveling anymore except to go hunting in Black River Falls or something like that. I want to be that full-time legislator and stay on that county board and make sure our message is being sent. But we need to get rid of this campaign financing and just let them talk about the issues. We need these career politicians to get out there and knock on the doors and talk to their constituents, too.
We are going to take our final call. I'm going to just call it. We're getting close to the top of the hour. Bob's been waiting on the line for a while. Bob in Chippewa Falls, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. What's on your mind?
Well, St. Norbert, Wisconsin survey indicates 86% of Democrats, 60% of independents, and 54% of Republicans want an increase in the minimum wage. I've got three questions for each one of the candidates, and I'd like them to answer yes or no. Would you represent manufacturers and commerce and oppose that, or would you represent the people of Wisconsin and be in favor of an increase? Polls show that 80% of Wisconsinites want an end to the gun show loophole. Even 52% of NRA members support a change. Would you support a change in that in Wisconsin? Public policy, a poll indicates that 62% of the respondents didn't want to change the accountability board. The poll also indicated that 57% of the people that voted for Romney didn't want to change it. The poll also showed that 50% of the people who described themselves as very conservative didn't want to change it. And most of all, 74% of the people living in the 715 area code didn't want to change it, and the legislature changed it in 12 days. Would you support reconstituting a real accountability board?
All right, Bob, thanks for that. I think that's going to round out the hour. We've got three questions from Bob in Chippewa Falls. Let me start with Shannon Zimmerman. I guess he was looking for yes or no answers. I've noticed with candidates running for office, it's hard to get that. But if do your best to keep it as short as you can, because we've got some other questions. Minimum wage, would you support an increase in the minimum wage or not?
So as a person who started their career in minimum wage, I also fully appreciate the challenges that can impose upon individuals. You know, I have an economic perspective which would say that, you know, if we just automatically raise wages, there's a ripple effect throughout the economy that can be challenging. It can create new challenges elsewhere. That said, I think we absolutely need to provide the appropriate worker training, the education. We didn't spend a lot of time on education here today, but I know it's an important subject, and I'm a strong, strong advocate for it. But I think that there's better ways than just automatically raising the minimum wage. So I would have concerns in doing that because of the broader economic impact.
Ending the gun show loophole?
Look, I think that's a challenge. I'm pro-Second Amendment. I support the Second Amendment as it's written in the Constitution.
All right. I'm just going to keep it to two because this is going to take – it might take up too much time. Aaron Taylor, your thoughts, and keep it as close to yes or no as you can, the supporting increase in the minimum wage. I think you alluded to that already.
Yes, I support it, but it would be part of a broader plan to make living in Wisconsin affordable and possible for everyone.
Sure. Well, thoughts on the gun show loophole? That's basically you go to a private seller and you don't have to do the background check.
I feel that background checks are a good thing for anybody buying a firearm. That being said, I am, like Shannon, support the Second Amendment. My family is full of hunters. I own a couple weapons. They're all registered.
Mm-hmm. And Scott Nelson, your thoughts on the minimum wage? Increase it?
Yes, absolutely. Next question.
All right, the gun show loophole?
Yep, and I'm also for the 48-hour rule. I'm a hunter. I have guns. I'm not afraid of somebody doing a background on me. And we got to stop being scared that people are going to come and take our guns. It takes two-thirds of Congress to make an action to even do something like that. We need to start watching how we deal and talk to each other when we're talking about the Second Amendment. And the last question is we need the Government Accountability Board to be redone and brought back down there. It was a partisan thing that they took care of. And now we're seeing the issues that are going with the GAB. And it's ridiculous. This state's going backwards, and we need to start working together and go forward.
Tuition has been in the news recently. The Board of Regents voted to freeze tuition for one more year and then increase it. They are technically the body that are supposed to be setting the tuition, but the state legislature, lawmakers, over the last 4 years have frozen tuition very quickly as you can. Scott Nelson, who should decide whether tuition should go up or not? Is it lawmakers or the Board of Regents?
I'll tell you, at my county board level, when I go to a public protection meeting and the sheriff deputy tells me what he needs, I, as a policymaker, I try to get him the tools and the resources that he needs to do that job. Legislators need to get out of there. Let the professionals make the decisions. They're all knowing sometimes. And you know what? That's a bad thing. Be a policymaker and be supportive of the UW system.
Shouldn't tuition be increased?
If they go to the board and they want to increase it, and that's what they do, you increase that.
Okay.
But they know better than the policymakers. Let them make the decisions.
All right, Aaron Taylor.
As far as the Board of Regents, I actually was involved in UW system stuff, and I fully support the Board of Regents. The Wisconsin government created them for a reason, and they are tying their hands with the budget cuts, so they need to give that power back and not tie their hands.
Would you be all right with a tuition increase if they thought it was necessary?
I would be totally fine with that.
All right. Thank you for that. And Shannon Zimmerman.
Yep. Ray Cross is doing a great job. I think that the intrinsic tie between the Board of Regents and the legislature is because that's where some of the monies are coming from, right? So they're naturally connected. You can't just automatically say, hey, they have full authority here. Education is critical to our vital future in the state of Wisconsin. That said, I would want to defend against tuition increases with the student in mind. I think there's creative ways that these schools can receive monies without having to go to the taxpayer, but we also need to think about the students in this equation so that they're not priced out of school.
All right. Thank you for that, gentlemen. I really appreciate it. That's our time. I'd like to thank the candidates, Democrat Scott Nelson, Independent Aaron Taylor, and Republican Shannon Zimmerman. Best of luck to all of you on November 8th. I'd also like to thank Team Westside, including Henry Lippold, Mort Cypress, Samantha Greener, and, of course, Debbie Brown and Dean Kallenbeck. All the others. Next week, we're going to be talking about the 92nd State Assembly District in Buffalo, Trempealeau, and Jackson counties. I'll be joined by Democratic incumbent Chris Dano and Republican challenger Treg Prunchinski. Have a safe and productive week. We'll chat again next Monday morning. All right.